I'm here at first of all, welcome to the Rhymer Roundup show, and I'm here at Harlow Town, and luckily enough to be here with Chief Executive Tom Cunningham, Manager Danny Chapman, and Secretary Ray Dyer, just for a little chat here. So I suppose the first questions would be, how was the club when you guys first came to, got to Harlow Town in the new stadium as such?
Well, I think Ray was already part of the football club, and I think how would you describe your role, Ray? I mean, you was prominent in trying to get the club to survive, because it was in a dire state. When I got back involved with the club through Platinum Sports Management, it was really the site and the club were in a desperate position, and we just wanted to do everything we can to put it right, and that's what we've tried to achieve since then.
Yeah. Danny, I mean, with yourself, you've come from playing. Was it from playing straight to managing, or was there a little gap between?
No, there was a gap between. I mean, I played under Tom for 4 or 5 years, and then I took some time out after Ryan Kirby was sacked. But I got a phone call from Tom to say that he'd taken over the football club, and would I come back and play? I hadn't played for, I think it was about 18 months, to be pushing 2 years when I come back.
It didn't show, though.
I remember that first training session that we had out here, and ball went over me, and I turned to run. No one within sort of 20 yards of me, I just fell over. And I thought, I don't know if this is right, but no, listen, it was for Arlo, it was for Tom. I've known for many years, and the club meant so much. And we came back and brought a few of the old faces back, James Bunn, Mark Taylor, Lee Provero, and people like that. And we had a go till the end of the season. And obviously, Marvin Samuel was sacked, and Kevin Moran was appointed, and he asked me to be his assistant. I'd never really thought about it, to be honest. Okay, let's see how it goes, and sort of went from there, really.
Right, yourself?
Yeah, well, as Tom said, I was a supporter. First point for many a year, I won't say how long, but quite a few years, and then I got involved basically when Tom come on board, asked if I'd become match secretary just to help out with the workload, which I jumped at the chance of doing, and was doing that for 2 years, just over 2 years, I think. So I saw two seasons through, and then We lost the secretary, and Tom asked me if I wanted to take over the full secretary role, and which I grabbed with both hands. And loving every minute of it, to be honest with you. I was enjoying it when I was doing the match secretary bit, but to be hands-on and doing everything that I do now, it's fantastic just to be part of the club, and with the what's going on in the future, it's good times, he's still
seen over the other side, though, with the lads, you know, with all the supporters, all the vocal supporters, our travelling support. He can't get away from that, and there's a big bit of us don't want him to get away from that. I'm sure they don't as well.
But I was only saying to Ray the other day about their song for him as well. It was not a bad little song. I think you must have been away one.
I must have been in other climes, to be fair, because I've not heard his song. I've got some idea. I've got my own ideas of what it's about.
I can't say it on radio. No, I'm not going to. I'll let the boys sing it on Saturday if they're in full voice.
I think one of the you know, we're having a laugh and a joke here now, but if you go back three, four years ago, I mean, the club was in a dire situation. I don't think you're going to apportion any blame to any particular person or any particular group of people. I think everybody that's been involved with the football club since I've known it, going back to the sports centre, everybody has tried to do the right thing by the football club. And wanted the football club to succeed, and I mean that right across the board. I know everybody's got their own opinions about different individuals in the past, but the past is the past, and I do know that all those individuals that I worked with and I knew had the club at their heart and wanted the best for it. It got itself in a situation, and we could spend hours going over that, but the situation was what it was. We just see an opportunity, me, the chairman, Magnus Peterson, and the other members of the company, that that we could make something of the club, because as much as it's got a wonderful stadium, you know, and we've got some really loyal supporters, it's stagnated, and things needed to change, and it's taken some time. It's a huge expense with regards to the site. As wonderful as it looks, what people perhaps don't realise is that there's a huge running cost to the site, and we've had to affect that. I mean, over the first two or three years, we looked at it initially from a business perspective. Given where we was, the fact that we had no electricity, everybody was talking about the site and the club in such a negative way. We made a conscious decision as a company to, and as from a business perspective, was to try and promote it. And we felt the best way at that particular time to promote it was to get a successful football team together. And, you know, we put a hell of a side together in a short space of time with Danny and Kevin, you know, to the point where we were leading the league, having sort of been relegated the season before and then been reprieved. To turn it round that quickly, we felt was the right thing to do for the club and the site, and get people start talking about the club in the right way. Mm. Unfortunately, you know, Kevin left us, Danny took over and went on a great run. We got to the semi-final of the playoffs and got beat in extra time, as perhaps you all know. But I think that was a massive achievement. Then we had to take a step back and we had to look at it for the long term, because what we didn't want to do, we didn't want to end up in the same position that the club had ended up, through a lack of finance, through a lack of support. So we've had to take a step back, have a look at the long-term future, and sort of, you know, about a year ago, although we discussed the possibility of putting a 3/4G surface down when we first initially came in here, we just looked at it, having tried different things. We've got planning permission for a boot sale, we've got planning permission for a Sunday market, so it's not as if we've sat on our hands and not explored other avenues of how we can make the site and the club sustainable for the future. And then we looked at the money we'd spent, and it really was the end of my heart. It was one of those situations, well, do we say, well, we've done our bit, let's allow somebody else to have a go if it's not worked for us, or do we reinvest? And we did a lot of work, a lot of research, and we decided that we'd reinvest for the long-term future of the football club and installing the 3G surface. And I must say, it is probably the best one about. There's 3G is 3G, but there's different quality in everything that every type of surface, anything you buy. And I really think we've got, you know, great value for money. It is an exceptional surface. I think everybody would agree with that. And now we've got a chance, hopefully, if we can promote and sell the site over the next 6 or 7 months, then realistically what we'll have achieved is the future of the football club and the site, and the football club on the site. I think the other thing over and above that is the one thing that I always found a bit bizarre, going back to when I was managing, is that you had the Harlow Town Youth. But it was a totally separate entity. It had nothing to do with the football club. So basically the football club had a first team and a reserves, and that was it. What we did then, we introduced the academy, and that worked well for us, because in the season we got promoted, a load of those young lads that had come through the academy, you know, played a big part in the success that particular year. Looking at it for the future, now we've got the surface to 3G, we've really got to work towards putting some roots down. You know, we've got this band of supporters that follow us everywhere, and they're fantastic, but there's nothing below them. By introducing the youth teams that we're introducing now, and hopefully we'll have a full complement by this time next season, along with a full-time academy, then you've not only got future players, but you've got future supporters, and it makes the club vibrant. You know, it's a bog basic thing. Most clubs do it, but we haven't done it in the past, and it's not been part of the football club since I can remember. Mm. You know, not as a whole, not as its own entity. You know, there's the future. The future for me now is obviously the 3G has allowed us to do so many more things. The staff and the people we've now got on board, you know, are probably the best bunch of people that in my time anyway that we've had on board, and now we're introducing the kids, you know, from under 7 right the way through, then, you know, the club's got a bright future.
Mm. Because I remember I always sat on the show, you know, I think when I first was asked to come over and do the tannoy, you know, you'd go in the office to get the keys and there'd be one board there. And it would be really sporadic. There'd be next to nothing on it at all. Yeah. There'd be hardly any writing on it at all. It's that quite often now that you go into it now and you go in to get the keys now. And when you go in to get the keys now, there's now two boards with it just completely chock-a-block from one side to the other side.
And yeah, and Dave, that's just the beginning. I mean, as you know, I mean, we've introduced some sides, we've adopted some sides, we've got some, as I say, we've got some really good people that are working with us that are promoting that now. And, you know, if you look at it from two aspects of it, if you look at it from Danny's position as the manager, over the last, especially last season, he's had to operate with just a group of people, you know, as a first team squad. And unfortunately, we can't afford to contract players, so we're relying on their commitment. And a lot of these young lads that have been playing at other football clubs to come to us because they see that as a step up. But if they're not playing regular, yeah, then they want to go, and that's why there's been a huge turnover of players. Now that will change. That will change because as we bring the kids through the youth and then through the academy, we'll educate them. You know, the boys that the Kenny Davises of this world, the Danny Greens, the Clark Akers of this world, that were a big part of this football club when it was successful, they were happy to sit on the bench because they knew and they'd been educated in the way football works, you know. And that's what we'll be bringing. I mean, at this moment in time, Danny's working sort of basically with a squad with no roots. There's nothing below it, there's nothing to introduce to them, you know. I mean, we had a situation where, and I could understand it, where, you know, one sort of our supporters are looking at, we're away to Wroxham and we've got three subs on the bench. Well, that's not something Danny wants. It's not something we want as a club, but unfortunately circumstances as it is at this moment in time mean that sometimes that's going to happen. Now we're trying to fast track everything so that this time next year we'll have a full-time academy. So when we are short, and we will be looking to promote the kids, you know, these young players into the first team and integrate them, that's what we want to do, then that situation won't happen. But at the moment, it is what it is, and we've got to make the best of what we've got.
I think sometimes supporters think it's a Premier League club. You know, when you're going away, and you think, oh, no, you're going to have this amount of players. You know, you go to Wroxham, as you said, and you've got three subs. You know, and all of a sudden everybody's sort of, why not? Why have we only got three subs? You know, surely we should have a full complement. But they don't realise these guys are working, the manager's working, yourself's working, Ray's working, everybody else is, you know, they're working full time jobs as well as playing football for the club at the same time.
Sometimes things ain't always as black and white as what people would like it to be. I mean, that particular game, the Wroxham game, I mean, we are a squad of 18 players. We had two injured. One went down ill that particular day, and I got a phone call from another one to say that he wasn't going to be able to get away from work in time. Well, you know, it's Wroxham, it's a 3-hour drive. And then the goalkeeper that we had at the time, Danny, who was just Dean Neil. He decided to phone us at 6 o'clock. We're already at Wroxham, we're standing on the pitch, me and Ray, talking at 6 o'clock to say that we weren't going to be there. Well, I have no control over it. I can't help things like that. And that's why we ended up with two on the bench.
We did have three, in fairness, because
Darren Blewett got injured in the warm up. So it's just it was just one of them nights. You know, it's not happened since, and it won't happen. It won't happen again. But as I say, sometimes things are not always as black and white as what people would like them to be.
But it must be so frustrating for yourself, though, when you've got, you know, you must be sitting at home or driving back here and you think, well, I know what the team's going to be for tomorrow, blah, 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 and you've got it mentally in your mind, or whoever you may have discussed it with Tom, or whoever you've discussed with, you've got that in your head, and then of course you get to the ground and all of a sudden two of them can't come, you know, one's
pulled up
injured.
Well, I mean, I'll give you, last season was the one for me. I'd never experienced anything like that last season with the players' mentalities that they had. And I'll give you a prime example. I can't remember who was playing. It was here on a Tuesday night. Anyway, 6 o'clock, I get a phone call from a particular player. Sorry, Gaffer, I'm not going to be able to make the game. I said, well, what's the matter? He said, well, I went out last night to watch the Tottenham game, and someone spiked my drink. I said, so first of all, you're out the night before a game, which is scandalous in itself, and then it takes you to 6 o'clock
to go on.
To call me, to tell me that you're not going to be able to play. Yeah. And that was the kind of mentality, you know, players calling you on a Saturday morning, I can't make the game because I've got to go shopping with my mum. And it was unbelievable. It really was. But
it's that type of thing. You say about last season, and it was, you came under a lot of pressure from fans. Tom did. I mean, I read some of the stuff that was on the forums. I know you guys probably might not have read them. And I just sat there sometimes and just,
I've got it posted up in my bedroom. You know. Every bad comment, I know who said it, right? And one day, I'm going to come and get them.
But it's one of those things. I just couldn't believe some of it. But what they didn't understand was, the average age of your squad last season was teens, wasn't it? Yeah. I suppose last year,
teens.
And he was working with youngsters against fully grown men, in the game, and it must have been frustrating for you.
You try to give them a direction, you try to install a bit of discipline in them, and some of them can take it on board, and some of them just can't deal with the discipline. Hmm. And unfortunately, there was probably one or two too many that just couldn't deal with it. Which was a shame, but
last season was a situation where we'd spent two seasons, we'd spent a lot of money, as a company, we spent an awful lot of money. I mean, you can go on company's house, it's there, and we're talking like £300,000-£400,000 that we just had spent just trying to sustain the site.
Wow.
That's without anything else. Now, it doesn't matter who you are, there comes a time when you've got to say enough's enough. And basically, that's what we did. And we said to Danny, listen, we need to make this work. Your remit this season is to keep us up. That's going to be a bonus. No one expected it to be as difficult as it was, and we certainly didn't expect to be docked 10 points. But that was the case. So everything was thrown at us that could be thrown at us. The great thing about that, and I think it shows in itself now, is that because you've got the right people, in the manager, in the staff, it means you can survive anything, and we've done it, and we survived last year. It's been worse here, and they didn't survive, but somebody's picked the reins up and moved it on. And we've now got a situation where this has got to work as a business. People have to understand, Harlow Town Football Club can go and play anywhere. Well, that's not a problem. We could move it tomorrow, and we could go and share with someone. But Harlow Town Football Club outside Harlow Town just doesn't seem right. There was a decision made many, many years ago to separate the athletics club, the leisure centre, and the football club, and put them in their own venues. Perhaps hindsight's a wonderful thing. At the time, perhaps somebody should have thought about, what's going to happen and who's going to pay for what. Mm. Because basically what's happened since we left the sports centre, we've got this fabulous new stadium. But we're out of a prime location. Yeah, we're on the fringes of the town now. And also, our outgoings are fivefold, but we're still only getting the same support. Mm. Now, I'm not blaming anybody for that, but that's a fact of life. That's the way it is, and we've had to pick the tab up. Now, what we've got to do is we recognise that. We've invested in the pitch, we've invested in people, and I think that's been our biggest investment. And now what we've got to do is we've got to draw a line through the past and start talking about and working on the future. And the future's going to be the youth and the community coming to this site, not just because they support Harlow Town Football Club, but because they're coming to the site because they want to come here. There's other reasons for them to come here. And that's the goal now. That's the goal for the football club and all the staff here is to get people, as many people in any way we can, to come to the site, to enjoy the site for different reasons over and above supporting Harlow Town Football Club. Now, with the youth, as I've already said, in time, and you've seen it already with the games being played before our first team matches, the fact that we can have district games here, that's fantastic. I mean, we've got on a Saturday before a game, you know this anyway, is that we'll have our soccer camp, which is growing and growing and growing, which young Cole's doing a great job with, and then we'll have a district game, as we've got this coming Saturday. Then we'll have an under-9s game or an under-7s game. Then our first team come and play here. And there's availability after that as well. So that is a massive step forward for us. I mean, to have the sides we've already got and the interest that's growing in the youth itself, given we've started from scratch. The future's bright. What we've got to do is keep promoting it, keep pushing it, We've got to work together and get as many people we can on board, on side, that can promote the site, promote the club, promote one another in the best possible way. If Danny can maintain the challenge, you know, as far as the first team's concerned, for the remainder of the season, that is going to be a massive bonus for us. Because next year, whatever league we're in, and hopefully we'll be promoted, yeah, we're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Hmm. I mean, it's amazing for me. I mean, as you know, mom, the missus comes, the two kids come, and if I tried to get my missus or two kids to come to football, I don't know, 18 months ago, I'd have had no chance. Yeah. Absolutely no chance. You know, they're the first ones with the coats on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Are we going today? Yeah, we're going today. And it's become that sort of thing as a real sort of family atmosphere. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, I came here today, and the oldest one said to me, do you know what, shit? I think we live here now, she says.
there's a great story on that. I mean, I wasn't actually here, but I mean, I was told the story. I've seen one or two other things that are similar. But, you know, on the Thursday night, when the first team are training, and you know, our under 7s, 9s and 10s, and our under 15s are training, one of the young boys come over to Darren Blewett, our captain, and asked him to sign his boot. And Darren wasn't quite sure what to do. And to be fair to Darren, he's looked over, he said, who are you with? He said, I'm with my mum. So he's gone over to this boy's mum and said to him, listen, look, he wants me to sign his boot. You know, I don't want to do it without your permission. She laughed. Mm. But, I mean, could you imagine? I mean, I don't know about you, Dan. I think I asked you this question the other day. But if you're a Harlow Town first team player at this moment in time, you don't really expect somebody to come up and ask for you to sign their boot or to ask you for their autograph. That's happening now. Mm. And that's a fantastic thing. It's a great feeling for the players. Mm.
Mm. I mean, I know. Again, we the other day when we did it the other day, and you know, Ray got my youngest a shirt, got her a shirt, and ever since she's come over, since day one, sort of, since we came over for the Enfield Town game, I think it was the first game I ever did a couple of years ago when they were in the Ryman North, and she's fallen in love with Danny Brown. Mm. Simple as Danny
many
Brown's
people mate. Don't. Unfortunately for me, I'm not one of them.
But you know, and she's, and it's, you know, ever since that day, it's Danny Brown this, Danny Brown that. If I wasn't around, I'm working. He gets injured, I get a phone call. So, Danny's gone off. If he's got or whatever else, all this sort of stuff. And we finally managed to get a brand new shirt, Danny Brown's name on it, number on it, and you know, and Danny signed it for her. Mm. Now, you know, this 14-year-old girl was just absolutely in a world of her own because Danny had signed his shirt for her. Do you know what I mean? And like, if it's not in the wash, she's got it on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you know, Danny's sort of looking as if to say, well, really? Do you know what I mean? Talking exactly what you've just said. But it's just the fact that she's got his shirt on and she absolutely loves it. You know, the oldest one now, you know, one of the things she's turned around and said, like, you know, Christmas presents this year. What do you want? Oh, I want a Harlow Town jacket. I want a Harlow Town. And it's that sort of thing. I think Harlow Town now, Football Club itself, has actually got into, and everybody, I mean, I've had phone calls today, but it's on everybody's lips now, where maybe I don't think it was.
It's a nice place to be, whether you're working here, whether you support the club. You know, it's a nice place to be. There's a great buzz around the place. You know, and you're talking about, like, I mean, my little one's only two. He walks around home, Harlow Town, Harlow Town, Harlow Town. You know, I'm going, where are you going, Dad? I'm going football. I want to come. Yeah. He's 2 years of age.
Yeah.
It's just, and that's what we want the club to be. We want it to be a family orientated football club. But that's only made by the people that by the people.
Yeah,
that
I think that's really important. I mean, you know, me and Danny have spoke about, you know, the team and obviously when he's looking to sign players and so on and so forth. And I think one of the things that we both understand and we do really appreciate is that it's all well and good going to get a good player, you know, and try to sign him. But it's got to be the right types of people. You know, there's a certain type of person that you need that's going to be here this year, next year, and the year after that wants to be here. And there's not too many of them about, and they're hard to find. But if you can get them, then what they do is they draw others in as well. I think, you know, I mean, Danny's obviously got his own opinion about this, but when you consider we've done it again in the last 3 years, we've done it. We've put a new side together, a new squad together. There's a good feeling about the squad at this moment in time, that group of players, and I think a lot of that's generated obviously by what Danny promotes, but also and Ryan and Paul and the rest of the staff. But it's also what's going on at the football club. You know, I think there's an anticipation. An expectation that, you know, at last we've actually got something that hopefully will be lasting, you know, and that's a buzz. It's a nice place to come. I mean, one of the great things about going to any workplace is that if you go into a workplace and you know, you go in there with a smile on your face, then something's got to be right about it. Mm. And at this moment in time, that's what this place is.
Because, mm. I mean, you speak to Jill and stuff, with, you know, with the club and the rest of it, and, you know, she's I'm on my feet, though. I've got wedding this day, I've got that on this day, and I've got this on this day. And it is a club, as you said, it's literally used, as we ask some of the people that come on the show, you know, does your club get used 24/7? Well, it does here, doesn't it? I mean, it's like almost every day there's something going on almost every single day.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought there's too many Ryman League North sides that are open every day, which we certainly are. I mean, you're talking about Jill and Steve. I mean, they've been here now for 2 or 3 years, and we've had some tough times. And to be fair to both of them, regardless of how tough it's been, and, you know, they have took it on the chin once or twice for the better of the club, to now... You know, for all their hard work to now see how it is now, I'm pleased for them. Don't get me wrong, I'm pleased for myself, I'm pleased for the club. But when you see people like that that have grafted and worked really hard, when it's been really difficult, and people don't, they see the football side of it, but when Jill and Steve have been the only people realistically bringing any money into the football club by generating the functions, I mean, that's a big thing. I mean, and fair play to them, because with people like that, you've got a chance. And then obviously there's yourself, there's Ray, there's Danny, and everybody else, all the staff that work here now. I mean, there's people got a smile on their face, and they all want it to do well. And we've just got to keep, you know, that's got to grow. That's got to get bigger. It's got to get better. And we've all got to embrace one another. I mean, you know, you go on the other side of it, it's football. We're all entitled to our opinions, and I think that's how it's always got to be. I mean, not everybody's going to agree with Danny, not everybody's going to agree with me. But that's football, that's the workplace, isn't it? Mm. That's what makes it a great game.
Mm. Have you noticed a difference yourself, Ray, in the last sort of... took it up to now?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely. It's gone from one level to another. I mean, the first season when Tom came over, we had a great season. Great season then, and then obviously last year was a totally different kettle of fish. It was hard graft, but still enjoyed being here, still enjoyed being part of it and everything. It was a challenge last season. We got through it, we survived, and this year obviously with a new 3G surface going down, it's just, yeah, it's superb. I just, I want to be here all the time. You know, I don't want to go and do my day job.
I thought you was. Yeah. You seem to be here more often than anybody else.
But it's like what you said, and I've said it to Tom before, and I've said it to you. We've spoken about ages on the phone. In fact, this is going to be pretty funny. I shouldn't say it live on air, but I will. My missus thinks we're having an affair. She said every time we talk on the phone. But it's quite funny, because it's one of those things, we've spoken numerous times. I've spoken to yourself, Tom. It's one of those things where, you know, I'd love to work here full-time. Mm. I would absolutely give my life to work here full-time. Because it's somewhere, exactly what you said, somewhere, you know, you could walk into every single day with a smile on your face.
Yeah.
And it's that type of thing. But it is the club for me, even in the short time I've actually been here, you can physically see, I've said it to Ray, and I've said it on the show when Ray's been on there as well, that I think Harlow Town's a bit like a train at a station. And it's now taking off, and, you know, there's people in the town, people connected with the club, it's either get on that train, because it's going to be a bullet train and it's going. You either want to be on it or you don't want to be on it, and it's that sort of time now to make your mind up. Do you want to be on it or do you not want to be on it? You know, and I think it's that type of thing, and, you know, it's that sort of thing now where it's halfway out the station. You've got to make that decision very quickly if you're going to be part of it.
That's going to tell through the youth. Mm. I mean, if, you know, we invited the schools through Neil Costner to bring the kids in here and play their games and bits and pieces, you know, free of charge. I mean, we want the boys here and the girls here, whether they're playing football or they're playing another sport. You know, we want to encourage that. I mean, last week and this week, every night we've had these the school five-a-side competitions going on. It's been brilliant just to see people here. I mean, Saturday morning, we didn't have a game. First team are training. We've got two games going on. We've got a coaching session going on. We've got a little group of under-sixes, you know, just to see that. It's fantastic. It's brilliant.
Yeah. So, I mean, the playing side itself for this season, are we happy? Or is it one of those things where you're never happy with what you've got, you always want more?
there's always...
You better ask him.
There's always room for improvement, no matter what. From this level right up to the Premiership, there's always room for improvement. But going back, funny enough, what we were talking about a little while ago, about, you know, togetherness and that. I mean, the year we got promoted, We had a group of people that was together like I'd never experienced anywhere, even as a pro. You know, and I'm still great mates, and I mean really good mates now, with 6-7 of them still to this day. And I feel this is the first squad that I've had that felt anything like that together. So, I mean, you only have to look at Chatham last Tuesday night when we scored our goal. I mean, the subs was warming up at the other end of the pitch, and they've run the whole length of the pitch just to join in the celebration.
As did one of our directors, bless him.
Yeah.
Mr. Wilson.
Yeah, he
will be reprimanded.
there's a great togetherness at the moment, and a great belief in what we're all trying to achieve on and off the pitch. Yeah. And that, if you've got them two things with ability into that as well, then you've got a chance.
You need a little bit of good fortune, like everything. You know, I mean, as Danny said, we've got nothing under the first team, so we haven't got a lot to draw from. So, you know, for the squad he's got, we need a little bit of good fortune with injuries. May they be kind to us, because it's not always like that. But invariably, I think you'll find, and I don't want to shoot myself in the foot here, but you know, when you're winning, you know, the injuries don't come along so much. For whatever reason, you know. If the injuries are kind to us, then yeah, we'll be thereabouts. I would have thought.
What we must do, all of us, that's self, the team, supporters, the club, everyone. You know, we're 8 games unbeaten now, 6 wins and 2 draws. What we can't do is get carried away. We've got to keep our feet firmly on the ground and just keep doing what we're doing. And I'd say that goes right throughout the club, because the minute you get a little bit of bobby station is when it can come undone. And I'm sure that there'll be times this year where we'll get beat at some point, and we will have a bad game at some point. As long as we all stick together and keep progressing the way we're progressing,
I think that's one of the biggest things is you know the word supporter. I mean, that in itself is exactly what you should be doing. And supporters, you know, no one likes seeing their team get beat. And we all want to play wonderful, wonderful football. You know, Danny does. Everyone wants to do that. But you know, if you support a football team, you support a football club, then yeah, you'll be disappointed occasionally. But I think it's really, really important that, you know, when things are going a little bit difficult, it's a little bit tough, or the results ain't going so well, or the performance ain't exactly how you'd like it to be. I mean, that's when you've got to come together. That's when, you know, you've really got to say, well, I'm a supporter because I support the club, and I'm going to support the manager whether I like him, whether I don't like him. I'm going to support the team. I'm going to support everybody that's involved in the club. You know, and on off the back of that, it can make a difference. You know,
yeah.
You know, the players feel it. Whether there's 100 people there or 100,000 people there, the players feel it. If there's a good vibe, they'll respond to it. If there's a bad vibe, it's not helping them.
No, that's right. I find that. I mean, well, obviously, I've been on both sides of the fence, as you know, and I always remember sort of following thick and thin. And I don't know if you was there, Dan, or not. We played Dover on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, I was there, yeah.
And I was the only supporter to go that night. I drove all the way down there, all on my own. And I'll never forget James Bunn getting off the coach when they got there. And he gave me his bag. And he said, I'll take that in and, you know, just get him free.
Yeah.
And so as I was walking in, the bloke at Dover, he saw him and I said, no, you ain't coming in. I've just seen him give you that bag. Thanks, mate. Yeah, cheers for that. So I had to pay me fair and that and got in. But we got beat that night. It was only 1-0, but it was we put up a cracking performance, and I was the only one there to see it. But I don't know. I just wish some of the supporters. I know it's difficult, and at times there are this year with money and that. I know,
of course, yeah.
I understand that, but it would be nice to get even more following away from home than what we do at the moment.
Well, I think to be honest with you, I'm going over old ground again. I mean, I'll give you an example. When we've played home games, there are the 15s who we adopted this year who are unbeaten, who are great bunch of lads, I must say.
Yeah.
And the staff and the parents, so far, they've been a blessing in disguise. But they've really took to the football club, they've took to the team, and they've also took to the supporters, because, you know, the crowd, you know, are all singing and dancing, part of our support, you know, they go over there and integrate with them. And you can see they've got their kit on, right? And that's the future.
Yeah,
you know? At the moment, if you look at us, we're like a all those supporters, they're on a shelf.
Yeah.
And there's nothing below them. And we've got to introduce people below them so that that can grow. Mm. You know, because I don't think it's going to grow from the top end. It's got to grow from underneath. Mm. And I know they love being over there. Mm. You know, I've, the last few home games where, you know, the, things have been going well, so everybody's in a bit of high. But the under-15s are there. I mean, how fantastic is that? Mm. You know, I mean, they're the future of the football club. We're very lucky to pick them up, you know, because that's all of a sudden it's a ready-made group, you know, and there's some talented boys there. But the great thing about it, going back to what I said about the right types of people, they actually want to be here. You know, they want to wear a tie on match days like the first team do. They want to go and stand with the supporters and sing or listen to them or whatever, you know. That's the future. That's fantastic, you know.
And I suppose the telling point, I suppose, as we sit here now, I know this is going to be going out after they've actually been played, but the actual first team itself really sort of now got some sticky fixtures, shall we say, coming up. Was that the word we used?
We've got a lot of fixtures coming up. There's a lot of Saturday, Tuesdays coming up with cup games involved in that. So Urith this Saturday, VCD, then Wickham on the Tuesday. So you plan VCD and Wickham are all in the top four in 3 days. So they'll be an important couple of games, but they're games that we can be confident that we can get something from, as long as we apply ourselves in the way that we have done over the past 3 or 4 weeks.
And it ain't the end of the world. If we get beaten both those games, that doesn't mean we're not going to win the league. That doesn't mean we're not going to get promoted. Mm. You know, because you've already seen early on in the season we've been beat by this side and that side. You can look back over the season already and say, well, if we'd won that one and we'd won that one, which, you know, in hindsight, you might think you should have done. Football don't work like that. Mm. I mean, we know where we need to be. We know how many points we need to get. And there's no reason at this moment in time, regardless of who we beat and who we lose against, you know, that we won't get those points. Mm. I still think that the league's there to be won. No disrespect to VCD. Watch them Saturday. They're a good side. They've got some good players. The manager obviously knows what he wants his players to do. And the league don't lie. Mm. You know, they're not top of the league for nothing. Yeah? But you know, I still think that there's that automatic promotion place to be had. They're certainly not secured it yet. At some stage, they're going to get beat. They got beat Saturday. All right. They had a player sent off, but that's football, that's how it works. We had a player sent off last Tuesday and we went on and won the game. So, you know, it will evolve. You know, so if you go back to more than Tiptree, I mean, we got beat 9-1, you know, not it's embarrassing to admit it, but that's a fact, we got beat 9-1. They went 15 points clear, I think, much later on in the season. Mm. And Gray's won it by a country mile in the end. So yeah, it's still all to play for, and I think, you know, we, as Danny just said, we'll give a good account of ourselves. But if it doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world.
Three last questions for you, because I know you've got training. So, but like I was in a ballroom the other day, and there was talk about a long-standing goal scoring record for the club.
Right.
And
who's got that then?
I'm not sure who it was. You'll be able to tell me.
Jeff Wood.
The goalkeeper?
No, I'm not the goalkeeper. I'm used to
saying it. Penalties. I'm used to
saying it. Goodness.
But chances of...
What was the record then? What is it?
I knew you was going to say that. And I'm thinking about
not. Surely
it's 42 or 46, isn't it? It's one of the
four. Or combined?
Combined, I think. 46, I think. Well, so, he's halfway there.
I'd have money on it.
He's on 25 at the moment.
I'd have money on him breaking that.
Yeah, I would have.
And I'm not a gambler.
Yeah, I'd have a little bet that could be well broken this year,
And if anybody wants to, like, give him a little bit of incentive with regards to a goal bonus or something, just tell him to give me a call. I'm more than happy to listen to that.
The other thing was, Alan Turvey came out this week, the end of last week, the beginning of this week, and backed the 4G pitches, 3G, 4G pitches. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was that a boost?
Well, for me, it wasn't about you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, because I think it's a long-term future of a lot of non-league clubs. Is I was reading that, before a non-league paper, there's a team up north, and they're looking to have one league as well. And I think for financial stability for clubs, like Tom was saying earlier, it's the only way forward for clubs to be able to sustain the football club. So, but as far as I'm concerned, it's a positive. I mean, I went to an award last year, with Daniel Brown, and we sat on the table with the chairman from the conference, and he was got talking about it, and he said that until the Football League approved it, then the conference wouldn't approve it. I also know that at the moment Mason and United are in meeting with the conference to try and come to some sort of resolve, if you like, before it ends up going to court, because that's what will happen in the end. It'll end up going to court.
Well, they're a huge club, aren't they? They've got massive support.
Well, I mean, they're top of the Ryman Prem at the moment, yeah. And conference is what, you know, if it stays the way it is, conference is only what, 10-12 months away from it.
That's right. Can they afford to turn that support down? That's the question. You know, the conference, they want to save in there.
I think the biggest thing, Ray, is if all of a sudden, let's say you end up with half a dozen sides or maybe 10 sides, you know, in our position, with a 3G, 4G surface, and they're getting promoted each year and not being accepted, therefore it's going to dilute the leagues.
Yeah.
You know, because no disrespect to the sides that end up getting promoted, if you've got six sides that have got a 3G pitch and, you know, they fill the promotion spots and they can't get promoted, so then you're taking the lesser sides into the leagues, it's going to make a mockery of the leagues. It's just not going to be, it's not going to be competitive. Over and above the fact that, you know, on this pitch and Maidstone's pitch, England can play Brazil, but you can't play in the conference.
No,
I mean, it's just absolutely
crazy,
bonkers, it's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. But somewhere along the line, it's I don't know. They don't want to bash the FA, but they do seem a little bit set in their ways. And I'm sure it's not just the FA. There's other associations involved with it as well. But come on, take the blinkers off. You know, this is the real world. This is how it is now. We haven't had one complaint, and Alan Turvey said it. And he's been down here to watch one of the games. We've not had one complaint. Everybody that's been here has been nothing but complimentary, regardless of who they are. Even the Abridge manager, bless him, who was up in arms before our FA Cup game, saying that it's outrageous that they should have to play on that. He wasn't complaining afterwards.
No,
and he won't be complaining when he comes and plays down here, regardless of the result, because he knows it's a proper surface.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, last question. I know you guys need to get away, but future? In the next sort of couple of years, I mean, where do you see the actual club itself going in the next couple of years, football-wise and off?
I don't know. Where do you see it?
I'll let you answer first.
Where do I see it? I don't like putting timescales on things. I mean, as we're talking now, I mean, you can see the under-15s are training, and they'll be doing an hour before they train with the first team. And that's where I see the clubs going. I see the club being, you know, a proper football club, where you're asking children, boys and girls, to come here and play football, be part of the club, giving them the opportunity to progress, to be the best they can be in whatever format that is, you know, and give them that opportunity. I think, you know, if you look at an academy that we'll have for next season, that will make our club complete. And what it does over and above other academies, no disrespect to Arlo College and local academies that are being run, they can only go so far. Well, we can take it from beyond there. We can give these young players the opportunity to go and play first team football and maybe go on from there. Mm-hmm. You know, the boys that you know, are at pro clubs now, that unfortunately don't get an academy place, you know, we're a backdrop from them, and we'd be proud to be part of that, you know. And then if we can help them go on and progress and fulfil their dreams, that'd be fantastic. If their dream is playing for Arlo Town Football Club in their first team, that's a big enough dream in itself. You know, how many players are going to be good enough and fortunate enough to have that opportunity and actually achieve it? If they go on then to be professionals, you know, and I've been one, it's fantastic. I mean, it's not as if we've not had them. You know, he was only talking about the other day. All right, we've not had an academy, but we've had some good players here that have gone on. Kenny Davies is playing in the conference.
Yeah.
Matty Harrell's playing, has played in the championship, you know, and there's others, you know, so it's there. I think what we're going to do now, as I say, looking out the window now and seeing that these young lads, as they progress, the club will progress. And for once, I think Arlo Town Football Club, certainly my time, in all the time I've been involved with the football club, will be a proper bona fide football club, from the babies right the way through to our supporters. And the future, if we can maintain that, then the future's going to look two things. It's going to look bright, and it's going to be sustainable. Hopefully we're not going to be looking over our shoulders entering into another financial abyss.
Dan?
I think, yeah, I mean, it's all going on from the top. There's nothing greater than seeing kids, if that's the right word, you know, the right word to use for them, but seeing kids progress through the system and ending up in the first team. I mean, I was fortunate enough that I did a YTS scheme at Barnet and saw how it all went. And hopefully
we had a very good manager at the time, to be fair.
Yeah, he was all right. But hopefully we can recreate as near to the professional scene as we can for the kids to progress. As far as the first team go, I mean, obviously our goal this year is to get promoted, and then we'll look at it again in the summer, and we'll then decide on what our goal is for next year. I don't think you can sort of say in 3 years' time we want to be in the conference. We all want to be in the conference, but whether that's a realistic target is another question. But all we've got to keep doing is keep progressing the football club as much as we possibly can, and that goes on the playing side as well. But sometimes that doesn't always mean promotion. It just means as long as we're all moving along in the same direction, eventually you'll get the success that everyone wants.
Agree, right?
You're going to come with me? Yeah. No, I agree with that 100%. I look at it and look at where Arlo Town have been going back over the years, from however long I've been watching them. I remember the days when we played Southend and Leicester, and I can see days like that coming back here. I really can. We nearly had it this year. Unfortunately, Haybridge got in the way, but maybe next year. So if we can go up this year, it'll be absolutely fantastic. But I see the club progressing without a doubt. It's going in the right direction. I spoke to Richard, one of the guys who looks after the under-15s. No disrespect from where they come from. He said now the under-15s are looking at a first team that they're trying to get into. All of a sudden it's Arlo Town Football Club. It's like they want to aspire to become part of the first team. That's what it's all about. And if, like Tom says, if we can get the academy going and all that set up next year, and that, it's immense for the club, and the future is, yeah, brilliant, really. Yeah, great place to be, good place to be part of.
Guys, a massive thank you. I know you've given up your time tonight for doing this, but a massive thank you, and hope for all the success in the world for you guys in the next, well, ongoing future, not necessarily next couple of years, but the ongoing future. But a massive thank you for doing this for us tonight, so thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
A fresh new sound of